Now then, this evening we return to the upper room where we hear the Lord Jesus continuing to instruct his disciples. We're going to read tonight John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. And we're going to focus our thoughts particularly on verses 12 and 13 this evening. John chapter 16, picking up at verse 12 and hearing the word of God from the lips of the Lord Jesus. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the ministry that you exercise in the lives of your people. We thank you that you, the Father, conceal nothing from your Son. We thank you that all that you have is his. We thank you that the Holy Spirit takes those things and applies them to your saints. And so this evening we come praying for that ministry of your Holy Spirit, that he might take the things of the Lord Jesus and glorify the Savior by declaring those things to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Lord's Day evening, we were encouraged to be reminded that as Jesus sends his people out into the world to be his witnesses, that the Lord Jesus promises that his witnesses will be empowered, will be enabled by the Holy Spirit himself. We are not by any means sent out alone into the world. In fact, Lord's Day evening, we saw how Jesus describes to us the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. And you'll remember in John's Gospel, the world is shorthand for those who are antagonistic to the Lord Jesus, those who are hostile to God. And God works in that world by his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit mightily and powerfully works, bringing conviction, bringing sinners to an awareness of their sin, and indeed holding sinners accountable for their rebellion to God, if indeed they persist in that rebellion. So if disciples are being sent out to into all the world, we should be encouraged and reassured to recognize that Jesus promises that we will be reinforced by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in the world, and of course, going hand in hand with that is the great truth we always keep in mind. God works in the world powerfully, sovereignly, but God uses individuals. And so we don't sit back passively. We who are the people of God, who are charged to be witnesses to the Lord Jesus, we have a responsibility, but we take up those responsibilities with confidence that we are not alone. The Holy Spirit of God allies himself with us in that witnessing endeavor. Tonight in verses 12 and 13, we want to explore something about what Jesus has to say about those human instruments that God uses as allies to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to his disciples, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. What do we learn about the human witnesses who work alongside the Holy Spirit, who is God's star witness, the persuasive witness who alone is able to savingly change the hearts of men and women? Well, first thing Jesus would have us understand about his witnesses is they are limited, or we are limited. Jesus in verse 12 says to the disciples, I have many things, I have still many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, It's important for us to keep in mind that at this point, Jesus is not speaking directly to us. We are eavesdropping on a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. He's speaking to the apostles. He's speaking to them at a particular point in time before his crucifixion, before his burial, before his ascension. So it's important for us to recognize to whom Jesus is speaking and when Jesus is speaking. We shouldn't make the mistake of wrongly appropriating specific statements. In other words, here Jesus is speaking directly to the apostles. You and I are not apostles this evening. So some of the things that Jesus says are not directly applicable to us, but did you notice this? Those apostles are subject to human limitations. They are not supermen. And if they're not supermen, well, that reassures me, because I know I'm not a superman, and I'm guessing you probably are not feeling that you're superman or superwoman. These apostles are limited. Jesus speaks to them, and Jesus says there are some things that you simply cannot bear them right now. Now, of course, we know that the disciples have already demonstrated that there's some things that they're not able to bear. Some months ago, we traced Jesus' conversations with the disciples about his coming crucifixion. And when Jesus first brought the subject up, the disciples didn't want to hear about it. Jesus brought it up again, and the subject, the conversation, kind of dropped like a lead balloon. The disciples really didn't want to hear about Jesus' crucifixion. They didn't want to hear about him being handed over to the Gentiles. They couldn't bear those. They recoiled from those things. But Jesus persisted with them. Jesus continued to instruct them. Jesus continued to build on their understanding. And right now, there are some things, particularly relating to the Lord, the things that are going to unfold over the coming hours, that the disciples would be absolutely out of their minds if Jesus were to describe all of those things to them just at that point. You see, Jesus is the patient instructor who recognizes the limitations of those who are going to be his witnesses. And Jesus works in the lives of his people, teaching and instructing as we are able to bear it. And of course, that's something important for us to hold on to. We know, in fact, how Scripture itself unfolds. There are certain things in Scripture. The doctrine of the Trinity, for example. We don't meet the doctrine of the Trinity in Genesis chapter 1 or chapter 2 or chapter 3, at least not in ways that allow us to develop that doctrine. But as Scripture unfolds, the doctrine of the Trinity begins to emerge. We begin to discover who the Messiah is going to be. We begin to discover the personhood of the Holy Spirit. These things are revealed progressively throughout Scripture. And of course, God makes his truth known to us. We think of the ways in which we instruct our little ones, the little ones that you might have in your household, the little ones that you might teach in Sunday school, and how we take the great truths, truths that you and I are not able fully to comprehend, and reduce those great truths to expressions, to a language that little ones are able to assimilate and comprehend. And are able to grasp onto. Oh, they might not understand all the complexities, even as we as adults don't understand all the complexities. There's that progressive understanding. And the Holy Spirit then takes the truths of God's Word and deepens our understanding of them. Mr. Cameron was my high school chemistry teacher. And there are a lot of things that he taught about chemistry that, quite honestly, I really don't remember anymore. But I do remember one thing that Mr. Cameron said on a number of occasions. He would teach us something, and he would say, this is not the whole truth. This is at a level appropriate to the grade at which you find yourselves. Next year, when you come back to this area of chemistry, you're going to find more detail. You're going to have this elaborated still further. But this is what you're able to bear just now. And that's how God works in our lives. That's how the Holy Spirit is working, how Jesus and the Holy Spirit are working in the lives of the disciples. But that's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The Holy Spirit works in our lives, helping us to understand and to grow in our knowledge of things that previously we might not have been able to bear. And isn't it true that as we find ourselves growing up in the Lord Jesus, as we find ourselves confronting different situations, challenging situations, the Holy Spirit fills out our understanding of the teachings of Scripture, so that things that we couldn't have borne, or things that we couldn't have comprehended, or things that we wouldn't have seen as relevant, become precious to us. And so there's that progression from infancy to maturity. And isn't that the case in the Scriptures? You remember the writer to the Hebrews who speaks to his readers, lamenting the fact that though they ought to be able to digest meat, they're still on an infant diet. They're still not able to assimilate some of the things that really they should be going on to learn. So while we grow from infancy to maturity, while that growth process is directed, facilitated by the Holy Spirit, there should be growth in the lives of God's people. We grow in our understanding of God's truth. We deepen our comprehension of the things that are revealed to us in Scripture. And the Holy Spirit leads us into that understanding. So a question for us might be, are we growing? Are we making it our business to explore the Scriptures? So that things that we might not have been able to understand or comprehend, or things that might not have seemed relevant to us, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit become unfolded in our understanding, so that we are equipped to live in this world as men and women of Christian maturity, of understanding, so that we're able to be effective as witnesses, making good use of God's word and God's truth in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. You don't know it all. Be patient with others who might not know it all, but recognize the work of the Holy Spirit who unfolds the Scriptures so that we grow in knowledge and our apprehension of God's truth. And of course, that idea is here as well. And Jesus speaks of that in verse 13. These ones who are limited, who are finite, these ones are being led. So Jesus says at the beginning of verse 13, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Or perhaps better translated, he will guide you in the truth. The Holy Spirit guides God's people in the truth. Isaiah, in our Old Testament reading, teaches us that the Holy Spirit was involved in guiding God's people through the wilderness. And then perhaps as we reflect on that and we think of that column of fire, and then we think of the tongues of flame descending on God's people at Pentecost, we might say, aha, there's a signature of the Holy Spirit to be seen there. The Holy Spirit guided God's Old Testament people. The Holy Spirit is going to guide the apostles. And of course, it's very important for the apostles because they are going to record God's truth. They're going to expound the gospel. They're going to do that under the direction, under the governance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to lead the disciples in truth, so that Paul talks about the way in which the church, fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets, led, guided in the truth by the Holy Spirit, lay a sure and solid foundation upon which our faith can rest. All the truth that's necessary for our salvation. Remember, God doesn't reveal to us things to satisfy our curiosity about all kinds of questions. The things that God reveals to us are the things that we need to know in order to be saved. All that we need to know in order to be saved is given to us in the Scriptures. All that's necessary for us to come to the Father. And Jesus, you remember, back earlier in his conversation with the disciples, chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus in chapter 16, verse 3 says, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth. And there is a play on words there that doesn't come over real well into English. Jesus says, I am the way. Okay, I am the way. And of course, we know that Jesus is the way, the only way by which sinners can come to God, the Heavenly Father. Now he says, the Holy Spirit will guide you in the truth. And the word guide is actually the verb form of the word way. The Holy Spirit weighs the people of God. He doesn't put them in the scales. He guides them along the way. He guides us in our understanding of the Lord Jesus. He guides us in our apprehension of the way of salvation. The Holy Spirit guides us in God's truth. He doesn't guide God's people out of God's truth. He guides us in the truth. Here's the truth. It's given to us in Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides the people of God in the truth. Remember Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Scriptures that make us wise for salvation. The Holy Spirit is our guide in the Scriptures, showing us the way by which we have life in Jesus. And if you think of the Holy Spirit guiding the people of God, remember the Holy Spirit only guides God's people in ways that are consistent with God's truth. He guides the people of God in the truth. The Holy Spirit doesn't guide you to do things that are contrary to God's revealed will. Sometimes people will say, I felt God leading me to do this. I felt God prompting me to do that. And we say, well, how does that square with Scripture? And you see, if that guidance doesn't square with Scripture, then the guidance is not from God, because the Holy Spirit guides the people of God in the truth. That's why it's important for us to know the Scripture, because the Holy Spirit uses the Scripture in our lives and in our experience. Remember the earlier in Isaiah chapter 20, where Isaiah speaks to the people of God and says to them, when you veer off the way, when you veer off to the left or to the right, you will hear the voice of your teacher saying, this is the way, walk in it. What way is that? Well, the way that's mapped out in the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit works in the lives of Christians, using God's Word, guiding us in the way, guiding us in God's truth, and yes, bearing witness with us when we are apt to stray to the left or to the right. This is the way, walk in it. And David responds, you remember, with the prayer recorded in Psalm 143, teach me your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me on level ground. God's Spirit leads God's people. He leads them in the truth. He guides them in the truth. As Paul says in Romans 8, verse 14, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. God leads his people. God, the Holy Spirit, leads his people in the truth. So if you're serious about knowing the way as you live as Christians, as you live as witnesses in this world, you're going to be attentive to God's Word, because God's Word is what the Holy Spirit uses to guide the people of God. He guides God's people in the way. And then, of course, and it almost goes without saying, God's witnesses who are limited but who are being led are also learning. And Jesus talks about that at the end of verse 13. The Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come, those things that are yet to happen. From the disciples' viewpoint, remember, Jesus is speaking to the apostles here. Oh my, the things that are to come that are going to bowl the apostles over. Almost literally, you remember them fleeing from the garden. You remember their disarray as Jesus is crucified, their despondency after Jesus' death, the exhilaration that Jesus should be back from the dead, and yet some doubted. And then we have them come forth in at Pentecost, explaining to the crowd at Jerusalem what it was just happened, and leading them through the ways in which the Scriptures spoke of the coming Messiah and how Jesus fulfilled those Scriptures. How did that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit has made known to them, has declared to them the things that were to come. And now the disciples are speaking about that. But you see what, if that's the particular lesson for the disciples, for the apostles, what we learn is that the Holy Spirit takes the things of God and makes them known to God's people. He doesn't speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. He declares to us things that come from Jesus and the Father. Sometimes you see, we look at someone and maybe they're a little bit inscrutable, and we think, I wonder what's on their mind. Maybe someone that we care about, and we look at them, wonder what they're thinking, I wonder what's going through their mind. God doesn't leave us in doubt. God, the Holy Spirit, reveals to us what's in the mind of our Heavenly Father. That's important. That's important because, you see, sometimes we're a little bit apprehensive that God's out to get us, that God's looking for the excuse or the opportunity to smite us. But Jesus says, no, that the Holy Spirit makes known to us the things of God. Remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Who knows a person's thoughts? Paul goes on, who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? You see, I look at your face and I'm not sure what you're thinking. You know what you're thinking. And Paul says, the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God takes the thoughts of God and makes them known to us. And that's great good news, because when we come to the written testimony of the Holy Spirit, what do we find? We find gospel there. We find words of life there. We would wonder what's in the mind of God, but we need wonder no longer, because the Holy Spirit makes these things known. He's the reliable witness who doesn't speculate about what God might be thinking or extrapolate what God might do. No, the Holy Spirit knows the minds of God, the mind of God, and he makes that known to us. He sets it down. God's not holding out on us. There's not some awful truth about God that's being concealed from us. The Holy Spirit assures us that our Heavenly Father is well intentioned toward us, toward sinners. Isn't that a marvelous thing? And you see, that realization, when we look into the Scriptures, when the Holy Spirit guides us in the truth, and when the Holy Spirit deepens our understanding of that truth, then we are emboldened and equipped to be witnesses, to communicate and to express that truth to others with confidence. We can say to others, Jesus has come into the world to seek and save those who are lost. We can say, God is a saving God who has sent a Redeemer into the world. And we can say, Jesus truly has died on the cross for the sins of his people, for all those who believe. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have life everlasting. The Holy Spirit bears witness reliably to us that these things are gloriously true. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, your word. We ask that you would deepen our understanding. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides your people in the truth, who grows us up in our understanding of the truth, and who equips us with that truth to be witnesses in the world. We ask that we might indeed be found faithful, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final praise this evening is number 538 in the hymnal. More about Jesus would I know. 538, will you rise to sing praise?